Today we're looking at the parable of the weeds, found in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. I've talked about this parable before, but I've never preached on it. But this parable was instrumental in my gaining a better understanding of Paul's teachings. It's loaded with meaning about judgment, patience, and the complexity of living as followers of Christ. Last week we talked about the parable of the cloth and the wineskins and how Jesus taught us that we have to let go of rigid adherence to Mosaic law and make room in our faith for the new covenant. This message in Matthew ties in beautifully with what we're talking about today. It challenges us to open our minds and our hearts to Jesus' lessons, particularly his lessons about judgment and understanding. Just as the new wine requires new wineskins, the teachings of Jesus about the kingdom of heaven require us to adopt new perspectives, let go of old prejudices, and embrace Jesus. In the parable of the weeds, Jesus uses imagery of a farmer, wheat, and weeds to convey deep truths about how we perceive and how we interact with people around us. It's a parable that asks us to consider our roles not as judges, but as nurturers and caretakers in God's creation. This story isn't just about distinguishing good from evil. It's about understanding the patience and wisdom of God and our place within his plan. So as we prepare to look at this parable, let's open our hearts and open our minds to the transformative teachings of Jesus. Let's allow the new wine of his wisdom to be poured into the new wineskins of our understanding. Let's be prepared to fully grasp the depth and the breadth of his message. Now, when looking at the parable of the weeds, it's essential to understand the broader picture of Jesus' teachings and how they departed from the traditional views. Like many others, this parable was Jesus' way of communicating complex spiritual truths in a manner that his audience would understand. In Jesus' time, agriculture was the lifeblood of the society. Most of his listeners were intimately familiar with the challenges and the nuances of farming. This background is crucial in understanding why Jesus chose the analogy of a farmer dealing with weeds among his wheat. It was immediately understandable to his audience, and it was filled with practical implications, along with its spiritual symbolism. In Matthew 9, Jesus speaks of not putting new wine into old wineskins. He's showing the incompatibility of his teachings with old ways of thinking. This concept of openness to new ideas sets the stage for understanding the parable of the weeds. Jesus' audience was accustomed to specific interpretations of righteousness and judgment. And now they're being introduced to a new way of understanding God's kingdom. Just as new wine requires new wineskins, the parable of the wheat and the weeds requires a new perspective on judgment and mercy. A farmer sows good seed in the parable, but an enemy comes at night and sows seeds among the wheat. Jesus' audience would have understood this because it was a real and relatable concern. The parable reflects the everyday struggles between good and bad influences and the difficulty in distinguishing the two until they mature or until the harvest. What Jesus says is radical and counterintuitive to the prevalent black and white view of morality. Jesus calls for patience and trust rather than human intervention. This was a new wine that required a new understanding, a shift from judgmental mindset to one of patience and trust in God's timing. So with this in mind, we see the depth of Jesus' teaching in this parable. It's not just a lesson in agriculture. And it's not just about changing the way you see things just a little. It's a deep insight into the nature of the kingdom of heaven and our place within it. So listen as I read, or read along with me in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this simple story, Jesus lays out a scenario that was familiar to his audience, but he infuses it with deeper spiritual meaning. The good seed represent the people of the kingdom, while the weeds represent the evil. The enemy that sows the evil, the weeds, is, of course, the devil. The central message of this parable is not just identifying good and evil, it's about understanding God's patience and wisdom. The farmer, representing God, chooses not to remove the weeds immediately, showing remarkable patience and foresight. He knows that uprooting the weeds too soon could harm the wheat. This gives us a significant truth about life. Sometimes good and evil are so intertwined in our lives that trying to remove the bad too quickly can cause more harm than good. When we dig deeply into this parable, a frightening thought emerges. Do we, as Christians, in our desire to be God's people and bring others to Christ, disrupt the seeds of Christ that are struggling to grow in a person? This idea challenges us to self-reflect on our actions and our attitudes and our spiritual journey. In the parable, the enemy sows weeds among the wheat at night, symbolizing acts of sabotage against the good seed. As Christians, we must consider how our actions, even when well-intended, can sometimes cause harm or drive others away. Are we, at times, sowing seeds of judgment, discord, or exclusion in the name of righteousness? It's a sobering thought, and it calls us to humbly examine ourselves. Our words and actions have a powerful impact on those around us. When we speak or act from a place of self-righteousness or ignorance. We risk disrupting good seeds that have been planted but haven't yet grown and definitely aren't ready to be harvested. If we talk and judge in such a way, well-meaning though we might be, we risk disrupting God's plan. This parable invites us to constantly reflect on our role as followers of Christ. Are we nurturing growth and love, or are we killing the potential growth and love through our words, our thoughts, and our actions? Jesus is calling us in this parable to practice grace, understanding, and unconditional love, the true hallmarks of Christ's teachings. Jesus' words should cause us to shift from a judgmental approach to one of love and compassion. Just as the farmer in the parable allows both the wheat and the weeds to grow together until the harvest, we are encouraged to focus on nurturing growth and positivity, leaving judgment to God. Incorporating these thoughts into our understanding of this parable broadens its implications. It's not just about external forces of evil. It's also about internal examination of our role in God's kingdom. We are challenged to be mindful of our actions as believers and always strive to grow seeds of love, unity, and peace. The parable of the weeds, especially when considering the possibility of Christians inadvertently disrupting spiritual growth, underscores a crucial spiritual truth that I've talked about before. We aren't God. And this realization is fundamental in our walk of faith. It reminds us of our place and limitations in the grand scheme of God's plan. I don't know if any of y'all listen to religious news. Alistair Begg, who is a Scottish, I believe, preacher, has a radio program. I listen to him a lot. I really like his teachings. But he has recently got himself into trouble with evangelicals because he told about telling a grandmother to go to her grandson's or grandchild's wedding, and the grandchild was marrying a transvestite. And Alistair told her to go and show love. Well, first he asked her, did the grandchild understand that she didn't approve of the way he lived? And she said yes. And there was another question, but it was making sure that the grandchild understood that the grandmother thought he was living in sin. But Alistair told her, said, go to the wedding, take a gift. Instead of reinforcing their negative thoughts of Christians, surprise them with your love. And he's in deep mess about it. He's been removed from several Christian stations, and people are working very hard to, quote, cancel him. But he was doing what Jesus said in this parable. As humans, our understanding and judgment are inherently limited. We see things through our experiences and biases and finite knowledge. This contrasts totally with God's all-encompassing perspective, whereas I only see what I've actually laid eyes on since November 2nd, 1965, up until today. God sees not only, as I've said before, not God sees from day one to day last, but He also sees the heart and soul. He understands every motive and perceives the end from the beginning. When we try to take on the role of judge, we overstep our boundaries and venture into a realm that belongs only to God. When we assume the role of judging souls, we risk causing more harm than good. Our judgments can be flawed. Our judgments can lead us to wrongful condemnation. Such actions drive people away from the faith that creates divisions within community. Look what our own church is going through right now. And these actions and judgments inhibit spiritual growth. By attempting to separate the wheat from the weeds before the harvest, we may end up uprooting the very souls that God is nurturing. This parable calls us to a posture of humility and trust. Humility to recognize that we don't possess the wisdom or the authority to judge souls. And trust in God's perfect judgment and timing. Our role is to love, serve, and guide others toward God, entrusting the ultimate judgment of souls to Him. Instead of focusing on judging others, we're invited to tend the growth of the seeds within ourselves and those around us. This means cultivating an environment of love, grace, and truth where spiritual growth can flourish. Our mission is to be ambassadors of Christ's love, leaving the final sorting of hearts to God. By embracing our true role and leaving the judgment of souls to God, we align ourselves more closely with Jesus' teachings and the very heart of the gospel. We are on a journey of continuous learning, growing, and trusting in the one who knows all things. The call to action is clear both in our personal lives and within our communities. This parable isn't just a lesson in patience and trust in God's judgment, but it's a roadmap for how we should live and interact with those around us. Every day we face decisions and interactions where we can choose to fertilize seeds with love, understanding, and acceptance, or we can fertilize seeds with judgment and division. We have to remember that we are not God. We do not have the authority or the capacity to judge other souls. Our task is to focus on our personal growth in Christ, nurturing the good seeds within us through prayer, meditation, and action. Jesus calls us to be examples of His love, showing empathy and compassion in a world that often leans toward judgment and exclusion. As a community of believers, our challenge is to create an environment where everyone feels welcomed and valued. Our churches, groups, and gatherings should be places where people can come with their doubts and their struggles and their imperfections without the fear of judgment or rejection. We are called to be a community that nurtures growth, supports one another, and reflects the diverse beauty of God's creation. When we embrace our role as caretakers and nurturers in God's kingdom, we allow for a richer and more authentic community life. We become facilitators of growth, not hinderers. By focusing on love and leaving the judgment to God, we open doors for deeper connections. We open doors toward spiritual growth and a fuller understanding of God's grace. This parable reminds us of a profound truth. God is the ultimate judge, and our role is fundamentally different. We're called to grow all seeds through actions and words that reflect God's love and kindness and patience. Our journey isn't about separating the wheat from the weeds. It's about nurturing growth and showing grace and leaving the judgment to God. Let's try to be more understanding and less judgmental in our personal lives. We need to remember that our actions and our words can either draw people closer to God or push them away. By choosing empathy over judgment, we mirror God's grace and love. Let's create an atmosphere where everyone feels welcomed and valued in our communities. Our churches and our gatherings should be safe havens, free from the fear of judgment, where all can grow in their faith and understanding of God's love. As we go into the world, let's carry the message of this parable in our hearts. Let's be mindful of the impact of our words and our judgments and strive to be agents of God's love. Let's trust in His divine plan and timing, remembering that in the end, God will sort everything out perfectly in His wisdom and justice. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, help us tend your garden. Lord, help us stop hindering the growth of seeds. Of your seeds. Help us be true examples of the love and grace and change that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.